For your consideration, Max presenting The Last of Us, the HBO original series starring Pedro Pascal as Joel, a hardened survivor hired to smuggle Ellie, a 14-year-old girl, out of an oppressive quarantine zone. What starts as a small job soon becomes a brutal and heartbreaking journey as they depend on each other for survival. Don't miss the critically acclaimed series Empire Calls, a masterpiece. Nominated for 4 SAG Awards, including Outstanding Performance by an Ensemble in a Drama Series, The Last of Us is now streaming on Max.
From Variety, celebrating more than 118 years covering the business of entertainment, this is the Award Circuit Podcast. For Rustin star and now Oscar nominee Colman Domingo, there is something magical about doing this film.
Everything about it has been very, and I use the word gentle, which I don't think is a word I use often when it comes to getting a film out. You know, you're trying to cram it into some audience's heads and make them go, force them to go see it. You know, but this feels gentle, and it feels like it has the spirit of Byron Rustin around it.
I'm Michael Schneider, and on this episode of the award-winning Variety Award Circuit Podcast, we talk to Colman Domingo just hours after he landed his Oscar nomination for Rustin. Also on this episode, the roundtable goes through those Oscar nominations and looks at who got the biggest momentum and who landed the worst snub. It's all next on this edition of the Variety Award Circuit Podcast. Stay close. Hey everyone, we are live in the studio, and at time of recording, it is just hours from the announcement of this year's Oscar nominations. Hello everyone, I'm Variety's Michael Schneider, along with the very tired, but still awake and ready to give us their hot takes, Janelle Riley. The look on your face.
I'm not happy.
The look on your face. Jazz Tank A?
Been up since 3 and just... don't know.
Yeah, Janelle looks angry. Ugh. Jazz just looks tired. And then Clayton Davis is just not even paying attention.
He's on his phone.
He's already booking more TV appearances.
He's got a tie. Look at him. He's so snazzy.
I'm in a tie today. Welcome to this Oscar support group. My name's Clayton, and I'm an Oscar addict. And listen...
So what have you been saying all day? Your hot takes.
You know what?
Like I'm gonna be Mr. Positive here. As a whole, I think they did good today.
I agree.
Yeah, sure.
I agree.
As a whole, it's not that there was so many things that surprised or irritated me, but the things that irritated me really irritated me.
Yeah. There's some serious irritation. My first irritation is that Clayton's been doing TV takes all day, and yet he still won't go up to the microphone so I can hear him.
Sorry. I'm right here.
It's like,
it's been up since three. He's tired.
He's new to media. I understand.
Because I get mic'd on the shirt. I mean,
Before we get into it, Clayton, good call on El Conde. Cinematography.
It's Ed Lachman, right?
It was Lachman. And by the way,
that's still four out of five.
Yeah. Black and white movies.
That's amazing.
In cinematography?
They have some semblance of black and white. Killers is the only movie that's fully in color.
Wow. Which is
but it does
crazy.
Have black and white moments in it.
Does it?
No, I don't
yeah,
know.
The newsreel footage. That wasn't, but they had to shoot that though. That wasn't.
Yeah, I give that to you.
So, anyway, that was the biggest surprise for me. And then everyone was like, no, Clayton called that.
You know what's funny? This is the biggest shock for me. And I was talking about her for weeks, about America Ferrera.
Yep.
But there's no way. And I didn't predict her in the end because there's no way you could have convinced me to take America Ferrera and not take Margot Robbie.
They felt like a package deal. You're right. Yeah.
Never in a million.
And I suspected Margot would miss, so I didn't think America would
get
it.
Did you?
But where? Where was your...
Margot?
Yeah.
Lead actress? Oh, I just thought that like there's still a lot of cranky older voters who are going to say – again, I want to state first of all by saying that Barbie is such a massive achievement. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying that 5 years ago, people would not have thought of Barbie as an Oscar film.
Right.
Is it? Yes. Yes. It's a great movie. It's an achievement. It's an auteur-driven film. That said, I think there are still too many snobs who were like, oh – quote unquote, you know, it's a doll movie. Mm-hmm.
I've been quoting you all day, actually, Janelle.
Oh, good God.
Is that, I think we didn't take the minute to just say it's a miracle it's gotten this far.
It's really a fantastic achievement.
Well, and I wonder, do you think actually when it won the Blockbuster Award at the Globes, if that hurt it because it sort of it created the narrative even more that it's
interesting. I refuse to believe the Globes affect anything.
Interesting. You know what I think really affected it? I think there is such a thing as doing too well.
Definitely.
So when it tied the Globes record and broke the Critics' Choice record, I think by people I mean Oscar voters went, wait a minute, what are we about to do here? And maybe as a collective, like conscious thought, but seeing it whiff on directing, lead acting, film editing, sound, I just think we had conversations with these voters. I heard a lot of it's good. Not great, or what one person said beautifully that I used in a piece. At the end of the day, it's still a movie about a toy doll, and I think they see it that way. And
which is why I think that people should actually give it even more credit because look at what they did with that "quote unquote" just a movie about a toy doll.
So beyond what you're ever expecting from a film.
And
like that.
The big takeaway for me is: do not take Margot Robbie's loss out on America Ferrera or Ryan Gosling.
That's proof to me that Margot was six. I think she was number six.
I think she was
5.5. I think it was just
very close.
Look, Greta Lee is not nominated in that category. Beautiful, beautiful performance. You know, Natalie Portman, one of the trickiest performances of the year. There's several people who were overlooked.
Jeff Goldblum says in Jurassic Park, life finds a way. I was looking for a lone screenplay nominee, and that presented itself today, May, December.
Yep. Yeah.
Charles Melton, Julianne Moore not making it, but we have a lone screenplay nominee. I will say, so let's start with Oppenheimer.
13. Which, by the way, was extremely successful, but because not quite as successful as Barbie, kind of has an advantage.
Yes, because it didn't do too well.
It did phenomenally.
If it would have tacked on Matt Damon for a 14, people would have been like, stop. Like, that's enough. But yeah, 13 nominations.
Perfect.
Only the 11th movie to get that many nominations in a year.
Probably would have been 14 if there had been two sound categories.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I miss two sound categories. Because I think we could tell the difference. I just don't feel like the Academy did, and I miss that. But Oppenheimer is in the best position right now to... I mean, listen, it feels weird to call things this early but what has to happen for Nolan and this movie to lose? Like, I wrote in the column today, it's not about will it win, it's about how many is it going to win. And that's where I think we are now.
And I think it goes back to, like we were saying, like maybe it's Oppenheimer all along. Didn't we say that like back in November?
Oh, yeah,
like,
we're going to twist ourselves into pretzels and just be like, that's Oppenheimer.
It's just Oppenheimer.
What
all
else
along
would it be? And, I mean, The Holdovers is the one that everyone really likes.
Well, on paper, it's definitely not The Holdovers because Alexander Payne missed today.
Right.
But I guess coincidentally, you could look at it and be like, is this a Green Book situation? But I don't think it is. But we can definitely put it on the table. On paper, it's Poor Things. I got 11.
Sure. Yeah. 11, very strong showing.
Yeah, and didn't miss anything that, like, quote unquote, matters in a race, like editing and everything. He got everything it needed.
Pretty bummed about Willem Dafoe missing out, but it wasn't a slam dunk.
Yeah, and that's also, I think they were splitting votes.
Well,
like,
and
hardcore.
Also so weird that Dafoe got the SAG nomination and Mark Ruffalo didn't, and then they swapped for Oscar.
Unprecedented. Both of them, at four different televised award shows, we got different variations of the Poor Things boys.
Right.
It's interesting, yeah.
With none of them, with both of them, and one and the other. So it was like...
What if, like, Gerard Carmichael just wins in a write-in?
Yeah, no, right?
That,
but now Ruffalo, who, like, is now 0-for-4, and you're like, oh, maybe you can take on Downey Jr.
He could.
But here it is. We don't see Ruffalo again until Oscar night. He's not BAFTA nominated, and he's not SAG nominated.
Wow.
And the only two people that have won without those two things in modern era, obviously, Marcia Gay Harden, Pollock, which came out of nowhere, and Regina King, if Beale Street Could Talk.
Oh, wow.
Which was crazy because Regina should have been
a sweeper
front runner all along.
But that was a late release. We can chalk it up to that. Like, this is a different animal.
Sorry for not knowing. Did Tilda Swinton receive a BAFTA nomination for Michael Clayton the year she won the Oscar?
Yeah, that's the only thing she won.
Because, like, I remember that being shocking. And if you see the performance, it's not shocking.
Yeah.
But
that was the tide turning for her. And that was also a messy year.
It was a very weird year because didn't Ruby
Dee won SAG, Cate Blanchett won Globe, and that was the year of the strike.
Amy Ryan won
Critics' Choice.
Winning a lot of critics,
So that was that big thing.
So, but we can't resist the Hulk versus Iron Man headline.
I mean,
Robert Downey
Jr. I'm not going to lie and say that I didn't write it in my column already. Oh. it was like...
Sometimes you got to say the obvious.
It was right there.
Yeah.
But Poor Things, yes, I'm sorry. Poor Things, yes, on paper, number two. But you know, coincidentally, Anatomy of a Fall.
That
yes.
was the one.
It got directing, yep. writing, editing, an acting nom. Like, it has everything on paper, and, quote unquote, to win Best Picture. And we didn't get four movies... crack double digits. We got three. But coincidentally, that year that we did get four, 1917, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Joker, and whatever the other one was. I think The Irishman. The movie that beat it only had six nominations. Mm. Parasite.
Oh, my God.
A non-English language movie.
And a few years ago, we would have said Anatomy of a Fall can't win because it's an international film, although it has quite a bit of English in it.
Yeah, it does.
But Parasite blew those rules up. I feel like we're ignoring the obvious, though, which is that Killers of the Flower Moon should be a powerful contender.
But a misadapted screenplay. It's funny. It swapped adapted screenplay for song. Which the song, I think people were like, oh, okay, I guess we're going to
do that. Had a weird feeling it would get in for song.
I always say when there's a weird selection, quote unquote, yeah. in the long list that usually you're like, okay, that's probably going to make it because it's weird enough that it goes the distance.
And it's actually a song that's like pertinent to the film and tells part of the story. So
I wonder if that's a package deal with Lily Gladstone. That actually would be an interesting little
song and acting. There you go.
So wait, can we go into shame phase now?
Yeah.
I need to shame some
shame.
Stuff.
Wait, can
shame.
I just give Ellen Morozhnik a shout out for costumes?
Yeah,
like
her
she
first
earned, yeah.
nomination.
I was surprised by that. I was like, she's never had
and
an Oscar.
Laura Cartman, composer of American Fiction, first woman ever to be elected to head the music branch of the Academy, is now an Oscar nominee.
It's
and it's a
day.
Good world. And by the way, we did it, Joe. Emily Blunt.
Emily
she didn't
Blunt.
Get snubbed.
Did you think she would?
She's gotten snubbed 20
yes,
times.
You're right. You're right. I just thought.
We
this,
did it, Joe. What? She's here.
Like, you're right. There was some nerves there now that
I will never
back.
Not be nervous that she's going to get snubbed.
She is finally an Oscar
she's
nominee.
She's finally an Oscar finally, nominee. It's
right?
a good world
Thank
to live
God.
In.
It is one of those things when I say, you know, that she's a first time nominee, people are like, no. She's been nominated.
I'm just like, no.
I mean,
no.
It's similar to like Paul Giamatti. This is his second.
Only his second.
Second
crazy.
Nomination.
Yes. That is a crazy
that man
step.
Is, Chef 30. So, shame. Spider-Man.
Oh, my God. Don't.
Like,
Don't.
And I'm not even getting to Best Picture because I know that's just me. But for no shade, you're a legend, sir. But Indiana Jones, when that came up and I didn't hear Spider-Man, I was furious. That's the one thing that actually got a reaction out of me. I was like, what are we doing?
I gasped.
Like, what are we doing? Like, this is just name recognition, documentary feature. Is a mess. We had two front runners miss.
Honestly, shorts. Some of the shorts are a mess too, in my opinion.
Shorts are always messy. Who
but
can
doc
predict
feature
those?
Is totally messy.
So what happened with doc feature?
So for sure, still I knew still a Michael J. Fox movie.
Yeah, that would be a very different movie.
Yeah,
very
Michael
different.
J. Fox movie.
Yeah,
Just won an Emmy 2 weeks ago, and I knew that was like the catalyst of like, oh, they're gonna go. Nope.
Yep.
Yeah.
You won
usually
an Emmy.
The obvious choice gets left out.
Yeah. Yep. American Symphony, Matthew Heineman's movie, again, early front runner. They just lived to do this. And they did it with Won't You Be My Neighbor, Three Identical Strangers, yep. Apollo 11, Jane.
Every year.
Oh, every year. So I'm now of the mind that I've said this before, they need to open that category up for people to opt in. There, 2020, there were 238 documentaries. You're not watching 238 documentaries, 650 of you guys. And arguably, the hardest working filmmakers around. You make documentaries for years.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep.
You're not watching 238 movies. Let other people chime in.
So interesting point about Still, because after all of this time and all the work that they've made at, especially at the TV Academy, to try to avoid that double dipping, and yet it can still happen potentially.
Well, I'm very fuzzy on how that happens, but sure Clayton can explain.
Well, actually, it was just. It's only really going to happen right now because of when the TV Academy announced it last year, when they said you can go for both. Apple at that point, I think, had full steam ahead of going film. And then we're like, oh, we can win an Emmy too. And I think probably miscalculation of the year, because once you go into Emmy mode, that doc branch is very elitist.
Mm-hmm.
They like they're like, nope, this is mine. That's why they don't want to open it up. And I just think that they were just like, No, you already got your award and your TV movie, quote unquote.
Even though, ironically, most of the docs are produced by TV entities.
Of course.
Yeah.
I mean, even the ones that are Oscar nominated are all produced by pretty much TV entities.
Sheila Evans, speaking about docs, is now an Oscar nominated documentary filmmaker for ABC's
A Book Banning. Yep. Very timely.
I said this earlier, but I'm going to pretend that one of Bradley Cooper's nominations is actually for Dungeons and Dragons, Honor Among Thieves, because he was so good in that. That is like a delightful performance. Mike is staring at me blankly. You haven't seen Dungeons and Dragons, Honor Among Thieves.
Not many people have, Mike. You're okay.
No, he has a cameo in it that is one of the most delightful.
He's in a big chair. You've probably seen the meme everywhere.
He really is delightful in it.
Let's talk about Bradley Cooper, though. Now up to his 12th nomination.
Yes. So
picture, original screenplay, and lead acting. One of four people to direct himself to an acting nomination more than once.
I actually think he could still win Best Actor.
He could.
The problem that I have heard from people is that probably should have won for Star is Born in acting. Yeah. But he was focused very much on directing and being recognized as a director. And Rami Malek was just a force who could not be stopped. That guy was out every hour of every day campaigning. This time, Bradley campaigned for actor. What I have heard from many SAG voters was that they love Bradley, but he did a lot of things with like Steven Spielberg moderating or, you know, Jennifer Garner moderating. And it was like it's felt a little, I don't want to say elitist. It's just that like they want to see the common actor or like they want to get into the nitty gritty. You know, it's fun to have like friends present or, you know, talk to you about things. But that sort of became the norm for him. And I'm really hoping that with the SAG nomination, he like goes out there and just, you know, talks to actors.
Like,
he doesn't need the endorsement of anyone else. He's so good.
Sorry, isn't that a commentary though on like this trend of having like?
Yeah, I have very mixed feelings about it. Mostly because I've only ever seen a couple good celebrity moderators in my life. A shout out to Hugh Jackman. That man can do anything. and it's different. Like, you know, there's a lot of people. Maybe it works better for Oscar voters where, you know, you're seeing your peers and you're seeing, you know, someone great praising Bradley. I just, again, I'm basing this purely on what I've heard from SAG voters.
There's always, it's a caveat. He wrote, directed, produced, and stars in the movie. Mm-hmm. What I had heard from a couple of voters and why I thought he was vulnerable a little bit in the end, which you had sounded the alarms
really scary.
Early on. I don't know if he was like a shoo-in, was that people use this term, quote-unquote, it was a vanity project.
Right, yes. That he's quote-unquote thirsty. Everyone wants an Oscar.
Yeah, and they did that for DiCaprio during his – before The Revenant. They were like, he was chasing an Oscar. I don't believe in that.
Guess who won an Oscar?
But Cooper, I think – When you're that much all over your movie, it does sometimes paint the picture of like, okay, what are we supposed to focus on? Now, could there be someone one day that does all four and we want to give them all four? Sure. But the fact that only two people have directed themselves to Oscar wins for acting, Laurence Olivier for Hamlet in 1948 and Roberto Benigni, who jumped on a chair in 1998.
I think we've taken that one back.
We've tried to.
Ian McKellen, here's your Oscar.
I think he has Edward Norton's Oscar.
I was just talking about Edward Norton last night because how has he not won an Oscar yet?
That's crazy.
Because a little bit of Mark Ruffalo territory, there's certain people that we feel like we're going to get you one day. We're going to get you one day. But sometimes.
That's what they said about Jill Clayburgh.
Ed Harrison, your last Oscar nomination was in 2002, and then we're like, oh, we haven't been back here since.
I was actually nervous that Robert De Niro would miss because he's someone else we always take for granted, and
the Leo thing was real.
And so I was very relieved to see him in there. And again, I don't think – yes, he's getting these nominations and everyone's recognizing how great he is. I wonder if he wasn't Robert De Niro, one of the greatest actors of all time, if he'd be winning some of these awards.
Oh, if he hadn't won twice, he would have been winning this in a walk.
That's like I
think it's one of his – like best in a long time.
Yeah. Oh, he's
in
fantastic.
A long time. We have to talk about little people bucking history. Danielle Brooks got in for The Color Purple.
Wow.
The sole nomination for The Color Purple and the first acting performance from a musical that is the sole nomination for their movie. That's why I didn't predict her in the end because I couldn't find Color Purple anywhere else, which it did miss.
Did Penelope Cruz not make it in for 9?
She did, but she wasn't the sole nomination.
She wasn't?
It got other stuff.
You mean not acting?
Just being the only nomination for a movie.
Yes.
Musical performances are never the sole nomination, and I couldn't find one, so that's why I dropped her. And she made it. Thank God, she's great in it. But you know, it was a little bit of like, you know, sometimes the trends don't tell the full story.
It's crazy that she's the only one, though.
Color Purple, I really expected to do better this season.
Yeah.
I think it came too late.
I definitely think it came too late.
They screened it too late and it came too late.
Yeah. And, you know, some of the people that you would have rewarded, like Colman Domingo in supporting actor, was already getting recognition in lead actor. Yeah.
Could I also just talk about, because we have like an interesting dynamic now in Best Actress. Obviously, we have Lily Gladstone and Emma Stone. I never banked
on the Stones,
but I've never banked on the Benning being there.
You didn't?
Well, she was my alternate, but now that she is there.
Let me tell you, you talk about SAG audiences.
I was going to say SAG.
That is someone like, who knows how to talk to a SAG audience.
I'm saying 0 for 5, yep. Like in her mid to late 60s.
It's a really like, good
some,
performance.
Some people start like having that conversation with themselves of like, do we get another shot at this in the future or do we do it now? I always think that's what pushed Michelle Yeoh over the hump. So I'm
I think that had a lot to do, I believe
that there is a fact. I think it's a Lily Gladstone factor too. You start like, you know, it's a thing that we don't want to say out loud, but we're like, are we going to get Lily Gladstone back here again? We hope she's talented, but we know how the industry treats people of color and older actors. And the fact that she's here now makes me think, what if she has, by the way, she has SAG nod. The only thing she missed was BAFTA.
She also, you know what? I'm apologize. I know you can relate because we've all been up since 3 a.m. Mm-hmm. I just completely forgot what I was going to say. I apologize, Annette Bening. It was, it was probably the thing that could have won you the Oscar, and it just slipped out of my mind. It was a powerful point.
Yeah. She has given some great performances
it's
in the past.
It's been a while since she's been nominated, too.
Yeah.
Since being Julia.
Wow, that long. Yeah, yeah. And I, again, just to reiterate, actors love her.
They love her.
She goes out there and she talks nitty gritty to actors, a lot of times one on one. Like she can be a force.
I mean, a nice.
But she's also not working if, sorry, Mike, if that, you know what I mean? Like she's just genuine. I think that's the thing. It's like I'm not campaigning. I'm really just loving.
And she's really good. That's the other thing. Like people kind of seem surprised when they do see the movie because I think it's sort of been undersold.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, and let's just give Jodie Foster Best Supporting Actress for True Detective Night Country.
Yeah, exactly. Listen, well, I was going to say, it's a nice showing for NIAID. I mean, for both of them to get nominations.
I really like that movie.
It's a total, I call it a total middle America kind of vote movie. Like it is, it speaks to like just normal people who are just like, I just want to watch a good movie. It's like the Kodak audience. Like, they just want to watch a good movie. And it hits for people. And Jodie Foster is incredible in it. And this also told me – that's why she was my alternate in the end. I was like, Jodie and Annette are probably a package deal. They're on the same ballots.
When they got into SAG, I was like, it's done.
That. But when that started – when they started that lineup and they were like Annette Bening and then they got to Lily – I got nervous for 2 seconds. I was like, you better say Lily Gladstone next. And then they said Sandra Hüller and I was like, oh, my God.
Wait, who misses –
and I was like, oh my God. Like, I immediately went to my head. I was like, oh my God, I'm a Stone miss. Like, it didn't even dawn on me that it could be Margot Robbie at that exact moment.
Oh.
I was like, oh my God, I'm a Stone miss. And that would be like epic proportions. But the one thing I want to just point out also is in the screenplay categories, in the screenplay categories in particular, Anatomy of a Fall, Holdovers, Past Lives, Pick Your Poison, that's going to be like a death match. And then adapted screenplay.
I think it's Holdovers. I think that's what the general consensus is. But it wouldn't necessarily be my pick, or maybe it would. They're all freaking
great.
I felt good about it before, but like with Payne missing director, not saying that actually like matters. Although he is the only director of a Best Picture nominee that has no Oscar nominations this year because he didn't produce write his movie.
It's a testament to how. You know, they talk about invisible labor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's so good at what he does. I think people took it for granted.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, look at how that movie feels like a movie made in the 70s. Look at those performances.
Oh, it's great.
I was still kind of holding out hope Dominic Sessa might make it into.
That was my alternate things. I actually think he was so close. I am 5 for 5 in print magazine and 4 for 5
God
online.
God bless early deadlines.
Yeah,
huh?
Early deadlines.
Don't this is why those. You don't change your predictions.
You don't change them.
Just
should not have changed.
Ruffalo, man.
Well, so May, December. I mean, that was it.
That's a heartbreaker for me.
Yeah.
I mean, the writing was on the wall after SAG, but I really love that movie. And I thought at least someone was like, you know, Charles Melton was only a Twitter thing. And I was like, the guy won the Gotham over some intense.
Divine Joy Randolph.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Let's not undersell that. Listen, he is great in that movie. I think the movie is just, I mean, listen, when I saw it, I thought, I was like, oh, this is a weird kind of cookie to like
it is it's hard to categorize.
Yeah,
it's hard to like
you could
market.
Say actors love movie about actors, but they also can kind of resent them. It's hard.
Yeah.
It's just interesting because I saw it play with the actors I know who saw it loved
they
it.
Love it.
Yeah.
And then A24, the only studio that got 2 Best Picture nominations.
Right.
Yep.
Zone of Interest
and
Past Lives. But I wanted to talk about Zone of Interest because Glazer, man, just coming through. He's an Oscar nominee. It's a good world to live in.
Good for him.
I love that movie. But it's also the weirdest movie to say I love.
You can't say. Yeah.
It's like, guys, you know what you'll love?
No, it's the weirdest movie to say you enjoyed, I think. Because I so respect it and I recognize what masterful filmmaking it is.
Yeah.
And I don't think I ever want to see it again.
It's a one and done. I've seen it. I can talk about it.
Carol in our department has seen it like 3 times.
Yeah, I watched it like twice. I won't watch Ironclaw again, though.
I'm not going to watch again. Done.
Well, now you don't have to, right? And now I don't have to watch Saltburn? Is that?
No, you need to watch Saltburn.
Watch Saltburn.
You have to. Oh, that,
you're not getting out of
Saltburn. I'm so sad for that movie.
I mean, well, it's funny because like people wrote it off early on and then I was getting excited because it looked like
it was going to get something. Yeah.
But also All of Us Strangers, done.
That was the one I meant to bring up. Oh, gosh, that one is a heartbreaker.
I can't believe Andrew Scott is going to walk this earth.
Bullish. About Andrew Scott.
He's
I was like, he'll miss
without,
everything, but everyone I know who saw that movie, the look that they got on their face when you mentioned Andrew Scott,
it,
like they were about to burst into tears. I was sure that good would prevail in the end.
And it did not.
It did not. Evil exists.
I mean,
Schneider's
again,
here.
Best actor is a bloodbath.
It really is. Yeah. I mean, how do you pick?
Mm-hmm.
And who's the front runner now? Who's the front runner and best actor?
It's between Cillian Murphy and Paul Giamatti.
Yeah. I think it's between... Yeah, I mean,
although I do think Bradley could get in there.
Yeah, I think it's a 3-horse race, but
he has to do some catching.
I think it's Giamatti, like right now, today.
If it was today, I think it would be Giamatti.
Yeah. I mean, In-N-Out.
He better thank In-N-Out when he's up there.
They need to give him free In-N-Out.
Yeah, when he wins that Oscar up on stage, if he doesn't give a shout out to a double-double.
I went and got one the other day. God, I waited in the drive-thru for 45 minutes.
Yeah, that's
worth it.
I haven't had In-N-Out since I've lived in California.
I've had
it before. I'm also not a lover of In-N-Out. Like, I like Five Guys.
I used to be like you.
We're done.
We're done here.
I am slamming this podcast over. Blasphemy.
You know what? Honestly, it's such a stupid reason. It's because the lines are always so long and it's not worth that long line. That's what it is.
1,000%.
You know
as
what?
That's
it. Park and go inside.
Lines.
It's not nearly as bad.
But that way is just as bad.
You don't have... Yeah. It's not nearly as bad.
But you might
Park,
see Paul
go inside. Yeah,
that is true.
Yeah,
after Oscar Sunday.
Listen, $1 million question. Where does Sandra Hüller sit at the Oscars with the Anatomy people or the Zone people?
The movie she's nominated for Best Actress for.
Okay. Nice one.
Also, they don't really group them together, do they?
No, I don't think so anymore. And then Barbie. Can I just say something about Barbie and just like its underperformance of 8?
Quote unquote underperformance.
Quote unquote underperformance. I think I said it here last week or 2 weeks ago, I said, what if it was like A Star Is Born and it just wins original song? And it got the same exact number of nominations as A Star Is Born did, also with 2 songs.
I would really like to believe that Gosling is neck and neck with Robert Downey Jr. Yeah. I don't know if that's true or not. He's so deserving. I get that people are like, you know, you're honoring Ken when you're not honoring – when Margot Robbie wasn't nominated as Barbie. 2 completely different things. By the way, Ken has a fascinating arc in that movie.
Oh, it's incredible.
Like making him the villain, but he still manages to be sympathetic. Like it is a balancing act.
I have a message for Ryan Gosling because I know he's listening to this right now. We all know this. It's his go-to podcast. That's what someone told me. If you don't perform I'm Just Ken at the Oscars, if you don't open that ceremony with I'm Just Ken, you're not allowed at Thanksgiving. anymore.
I agree.
At your Thanksgiving or just any Thanksgiving?
No, okay. Thanksgiving will have Ryan Gosling if he's not singing
give
that song.
Give the people what they want.
We have to get the producers on this too.
Just do it, sir.
Do you think there's a chance the Barbie songs cancel each other out?
Yes,
of course.
Yes, but I don't.
And then,
think
so
it
what's
happen.
What's the other well, song? What's well, what's the what's what's the one
Diane
that benefits?
Diane Warren on her 15th nomination? Actually, I think Killers of the Flower Moon.
I was going to say Killers.
Maybe Killers.
Because it is pertinent to the plot. And
I think it's down the ballot, like Lily Boat, maybe. Yeah. I think that could help. But
could be. Also, you know, how about, you know, American Symphony? It missed Doc, so maybe that's –
John Batiste. Yeah.
John Batiste gets an Oscar.
Oh, he's a former winner. But
what did he win for?
Soul.
Of course.
Original score.
I still think one of the Barbie songs wins, but I think –
and that's
probably
that,
Billy. That's what don't you think?
That's
probably
that's the smart thinking. But I just feel like I'd vote for I'm Just
Ken. Wait. Here's always like the thing that's no consensus anywhere about how do you vote on original song? Are you voting because you like the actual song, or you're voting on the way it plays in the movie and advances the plot?
Sadly, I don't think a lot of people do the latter.
I don't think people know how. Like, I think there's too much of a divide
there's
on
a
it.
There's a gap, yeah.
That's why it makes it hard, because for me, yeah, I can listen to Eilish outside of the movie, like on the radio, but I'm Just Ken is the moment of the movie, and I would vote for that.
It's also such a good song.
Yeah.
It's such an earworm.
It's a 6.5 minute, like,
but it's such a
masterclass.
Moment. Yeah. It's such a moment. Like, you turn the film on, and it's like, that is the thing that makes you, like, you're genuinely happy seeing that.
Yeah,
and I feel.
I fear that you guys are right, and that if that ends up being the only Oscar that Barbie wins, the song about Ken.
Well, then we just need to give Barbie some other Oscars.
Well, problem I think solved. It's going to get production design. I mean, I think it's
I don't know. Poor Things poor is right thing. There.
Poor Things is there.
Listen, I still think that's also a category. People haven't really talked about it. Oppenheimer could win production design.
Of course.
Could very
totally
well
win production
that, yeah.
design. And listen, and not for nothing, Killers of the Flower Moon. Jack Fisk built a town.
Exactly.
In Oklahoma. An entire town. So I think that's something. But my good interesting stat for Maestro, by the way, in favor of Bradley Cooper maybe winning Best Actor, the last, I think, 7 lead acting winners on both sides, their films also win makeup.
Oh, interesting.
And Maestro
That's
looks
right.
destined That's right. to win makeup. Or it's Oppenheimer.
If we
– well, so Oppenheimer's only in for makeup, not hair, right?
But, well, it's, together. Yeah, it's together.
Yeah.
No. Only one person is nominated for Oppenheimer, right?
But
so there's
the
a slight.
Hair and makeup,
the
right?
category is hair and makeup.
I don't think the Academy reads it that way, though. They're just like makeup of the movie. Yes, I think that sucks that they do it that way. By the way, that they only.
I think they should split it too.
I think. Yeah. I think
yes,
they need to be
because
two
they're
separate
so
categories.
Different.
There are two separate things.
We don't need more categories.
What if Golda wins makeup?
We do. I think we do need.
Okay.
A couple
more.
I was very happy to see Golda.
I was
there.
Too.
Yeah.
Golda I was okay with Golda. For that, sure.
I thought Helen was great, and again, in a less competitive year, and had she been able to campaign when the movie was out, because I heard a lot of people actually talking about
people
her.
Liked that film.
Yeah.
Ooh, just one quick technical sadness: Ferrari. No nominations.
Nothing.
Yes, and it's so funny because I was very bullish about Penelope Cruz, even if she didn't get into SAG, which
I didn't
expect, and then she did. I was sure the Academy would recognize her.
We get SAG red herring sometimes. They just present themselves, Naomi Watts and St. Vincent. You're like, wait, what? And then, like, no, actually. But
wait.
But
Nicole Kidman and the Paper
sound,
Boy.
Nicole Kidman and Bombshell. That's the big one.
That wasn't that crazy, though, because, like, you know, a whole ensemble was nominated, 2 other actresses.
I thought Ferrari would get in for sound, though.
I mean, it should have, let's be honest.
Yeah, sound.
Yeah.
Animated feature? Any thoughts
listen,
on the front
Hot
runner?
Race? Listen, they're all on the same playing field now.
Amazing.
Because all of them just have one nomination.
Yeah. I just want to say, my friends think that this is hilarious that I can't stop talking about this movie. I love Leo on Netflix. The Adam Sandler is like an iguana.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is so cute and charming and funny. And I know that people weren't really talking about it. But I do think it's interesting that, you know, they overlooked a Netflix movie, very popular movie, and they overlooked Wish from Disney.
Yeah.
And some of these other movies got in. It's like the Academy.
Elemental got
branch.
In.
Yeah.
At least
it's,
Elemental
it's
got
attention.
In.
Listen,
yeah.
three
which was the right call, by the way.
Yeah. 3 animated movies were in my top 10 of the year. Spider-Man at 2, Robot Dreams at 5, and Boy and the Heron at 10. Any of them can win, and I'd be happy.
Yeah.
But I think Populous Academy is probably Spider-Verse.
I don't know. Boy and the Heron has its followers.
I mean, it depends on if people are like, this is the last time we're going to do it. Well, he's making another movie, so that narrative doesn't work anymore because he has another movie coming. So maybe just give it to Spider-Verse. Or maybe
or for Nimona.
Nimona.
Nimona's good.
It is.
Nimona's very good. They're Nimona's all great. Good. There's nothing.
So I saw somebody who was outraged this morning that Turning Red wasn't nominated, and I just didn't have the energy.
Turning Red?
Yeah, from like
the one from like last
year or two. Last year, year before last. Mm.
But Robot Dreams, by the way, Mike.
I'm afraid to watch it. It looks like it's going to make me sad.
It's so it's no dialogue.
But there's a dog, right?
There is a dog. Don't worry. No, there's no
is it like
dogs.
The Futurama episode?
I don't watch Futurama, really. Oh,
but no dead dogs. Oh,
there are no dead dogs.
There are no dead dogs.
Yeah, but is he lonely or sad?
I mean, it's beautiful.
I'm out.
It is beautiful, and you should do yourself a favor.
I had to leave my dog this morning to come here, and the howls coming from him. It was like the worst tragedy to ever happen to Dogmanity. He was not having it.
Dogmanity?
He was. He was like, no.
Trademarked. Dog Vanity, Janelle Riley.
All right, so what's next? What's next on the docket now? The noms are out?
You know, believe it or not, it's pretty quiet until DGAs, which is February 12th, and the luncheon is after that. So no one's ever going to know he's winning director by then. But no, it's pretty quiet for the next 2 weeks.
I'll be interested to see if people pick up campaigning because sometimes there's this thought of like, well, it's already decided. But I think a lot of these races could change in the next couple weeks.
It always changes.
Yeah. And I do think a lot of it comes down to who's out there and who's being seen, you know? I mean, I'm so happy Coleman Domingo is an Oscar nominee.
Speak of the devil, our guest this week.
Oh my gosh, perfect
segue. I was about
segue.
To say, it also depends on who talks to the Award Circuit podcast. Coleman Domingo.
America Ferreira.
Hey.
They stop here first.
Yep. That's our new tagline. They stop here first.
A lot of people. Just throwing that out there.
Wow.
Coleman Domingo and his style, though. Oh,
I
my
can't
God.
Wait to see what Coleman Domingo wears.
He has the best style.
He does.
It's hurting my feelings now. Like there's sometimes I'm like, oh, I feel good about this today. And then he walks onto a red carpet. I'm like, God damn it. Like, no, I don't.
He is your sort of spirit.
Wait till he starts wearing hats.
Inspiration.
He better not. He better not.
What you wear a hat to?
No,
next
no hats.
Thing.
That's Clayton's.
Where are the coats?
I'm going to be mad if he shows up in a Scrabble dress because everyone knows that's my thing.
That is your thing. Well, great. Well, this was fun.
The Emmys are next week.
Exactly.
Jesus, stop. Oh, Jesus.
Like
actually,
it's
my first Emmys FYC thing fairly soon.
No. They had their lottery this week to decide when the next. So, usually those things start to happen at the end of February.
What's the lottery
so
for
it really.
Theaters?
For space. So who gets to do their event on what night?
Which
so,
I hear is a madhouse that people like try to log in and book the space and it like doesn't work.
A madhouse.
Mike, have you actually watched all the screeners for season 5 of True Detective?
No, I haven't yet. I'm midway through. So it's so good.
It's so good. Sorry. Jordan Peele and Kean Peele Continental Breakfast Sketch. It's so good.
Oh my God.
It's so good.
Wait, Mike, have you watched any movies since the last time?
Mike watched
what
movies.
Have you seen?
No.
No, I'm back to binging my TV. Oh. So there's too much,
like,
too much
movies.
TV. I'm done.
You know what I started last night, just because I haven't had time? The new Fargo season.
And speaking of so good.
Freaking fantastic.
So good.
I knew. I'm so mad I didn't start sooner. I just literally didn't have time. And then, like, I need to go to bed because I need to be up this morning. And I was like, I can't stop watching this.
Yeah.
I just.
We're back to
episodes.
Season one goodness, I hear. So
yes. For both. By the way, it's funny you mentioned both True Detective and Fargo because both shows are back, baby.
Yep.
I mean,
that's incredible, right?
Yeah. Two shows that felt like no one really was paying attention to the last season. They're definitely back.
Yep.
Good.
So
both season fives, I think.
No, True Detective season four.
You're right.
Yeah. But both sort of back, and that's that limited race is going to be ridiculous this year.
Badass Bonkers. Women girls limited race.
It's going to be so good. I mean,
Demi should end the night with limited series and not comedy or drama.
I mean, Juno Temple versus Jodie Foster, all the J's. Yeah, Brie Larson. I mean,
Lessons
yeah.
in Chemistry.
Going to be ridiculous. So.
Oh, yeah, Lessons in Chemistry hasn't been done yet.
Yeah, I had a lovely conversation with the women nominated for SAG Awards for leading, or not leading, they don't do leading, for actress in a limited series or TV
female
movie.
Actor.
Yeah, female actor, thank you. And it was like Catherine Hahn and Brie Larson and Belle Powley and Uzo Aduba, like just awesome.
Good people. Yeah. Good people. I wow. love, by the way, that we ended this Oscars conversation with a little
Did I mention that Brie Larson is an Oscar winner? There you go.
Yeah.
And if anyone hasn't watched yet, Love on the Spectrum, guys.
It's your show.
The future unstructured reality winner. This it's going to win again this year. It's delightful.
Oh, I watched American Nightmare on Saturday morning, 3 episodes.
Oh, I heard it's like phenomenal.
It's good. It's good.
Crazy.
Yeah.
There's so much TV.
And so real.
So much TV.
Yeah, that's why, sorry, movies.
You have a lot of good movies, too.
Yes, yes. Now I'll catch up. Now that the nominations are out, I will be catching up on some of these that I haven't seen yet. So,
thank you for your service, Michael.
Anytime. Thank you. All right, we will see you all next week. Bye-bye.
After the break, we talk to Rustin star Coleman Domingo. From Los Angeles, this is the Award Circuit Podcast.
For your consideration, Max presenting the HBO original Barry, starring Bill Hader in the explosive and hilarious final chapter of a man trying to untangle himself from the world of contract killing and immerse himself in acting. Nominated for 3 SAG Awards, including Outstanding Performance by an Ensemble in a Comedy Series. Barry is now streaming on Max.
And we're back. It's the Variety Award Circuit Podcast, and I'm Michael Schneider. Written by Julian Brees and Dustin Lance Black, Rustin is an inspirational true story that takes place during the Civil Rights Movement, when Bayard Rustin organized the 1963 March on Washington. Coleman Domingo has just been named an Oscar nominee for Best Actor for his powerhouse performance in the biographical drama.
Each of us are taught in ways both cunning and cruel that we are inadequate, incomplete. And the easiest way to combat that feeling of not being enough is to find someone we consider less than. Less than because they are poorer than us, or because they are darker than us, or because they desire someone our churches and our laws say they should not desire. When we tell ourselves such lies, start to live and believe such lies, we do the work of our oppressors by oppressing ourselves. Strom Thurmond and Hoover don't give a shit about me. What they really want to destroy is all of us coming together and demanding this country change. Are they expecting my resignation?
Some are, yes.
Then they're going to have to fire me, because I will not resign.
Domingo made history a couple of times this week. He became the first Afro-Latino nominated in the Best Actor category, where he's joined by fellow Black nominee Jeffrey Wright for American Fiction. Domingo and Best Supporting Actress nominee Jodie Foster for Naiad also made Oscar history. It's the first time two openly LGBTQ actors have been nominated for playing LGBTQ characters. Domingo has become a ubiquitous presence on our TV screens in recent years, thanks to Fear the Walking Dead and Euphoria, which earned him an Emmy for Guest Actor in a Drama Series. Now he's about to be everywhere on the big screen as well. Variety's Clayton Davis talked to Domingo about the euphoric feeling of receiving his first Oscar nomination. Additionally, he talks about his acting journey and the big projects he has ahead. They began with Clayton asking Domingo how he was feeling and how he learned of his nomination that morning.
It's wild. I went to bed. I was telling these guys, these lovely publicists behind me, that I really did last night. It was sort of out of my mind. I just wasn't thinking about it, really. Mm-hmm. And then right before I was about to go to bed, I was like, oh, yeah. I think I saw something on Twitter, like suddenly there was a deluge of predictions that were there. And suddenly, honestly, for like maybe the past couple of months, anytime I was on social media, I sort of skipped past any predictions. I just didn't want to hear it or see it, anything. I just wanted to trust what was happening. Anyway, so go to bed. And I usually wake up early, but not super early, like 4:30 in the morning, like today. So 4:30, my body was just like, you're up. And I'm like, no, I'm not. I want to go to sleep. I want to like sleep through it and see if I get a call or not, but not be focused on it. But I couldn't sleep. So I got up and Raul, my husband, poked his head up as well. And he said, you want me to coffee? I was like, yeah, sure. He said, want me to put on a fire? Great. So fireplace is roaring in the bedroom. Coffee's happening. And then I thought, I have to do something. So I start organizing my closet. I go into my closet and I'm organizing and I'm like, this is what I'm doing at 5 a.m. And so then I'm finished getting things together and then it's about 5:30 and Raul is, I can see he's watching the feed. I said, okay, just so you know, I'm probably not going to look. So, but I'll, he said, oh, you want me to turn it off? I can go in the other room. I said, whatever you want. I'm just going to wander around. So literally I started walking the house. I really was walking the house while I was listening. And then I heard Danielle Brooks and I just screamed so happy. And then Davon Joy and got even happier. And then I walked back towards, the bedroom part of the house. And then I start walking and pacing in the bathroom. And so it finally gets to my category. Like the moment I hear it, I'm like, oh my God, here it is. Suddenly, my phone goes bling, and East Coast, the feed was coming in faster than where we were. And so I literally picked up my phone. I saw it said, congratulations, Oscar nominee from my manager. And I just put the phone down, like silently. Yeah. And then I looked over because I was just kind of in shock. And then I looked over at Raul.
You're waiting for a noise.
Yeah. And then he gets the Coleman Domingo, and then he literally goes to the floor and starts sobbing. And so then I go to him. Then I look over at him. I'm like, because I think my body didn't even know how to react. I look at him. I'm like, okay, I'll do that.
And
then
you're like, my condolences.
I was like, I guess I'll do that too. So then I start crying. I'm like, but I feel like I didn't know how to react. You know, like it was. So that's me. Apparently, I deadened at first before I get some good news.
Listen, I do the ABC News watch thing every year, and I'm doing commentary. And me and one of the
producers. It's like sports. It's like sports.
It is exactly like. So one of the producers, I've been doing it for 3 years now, and she says every year her favorite part of it is watching me watch the nominations because I'm like literally like a beautiful mind trying to figure stuff out and also reacting, like live reacting to it. Actually, no one sees that, thank God. Right. But it was Bradley Cooper, and I said to myself, Coleman Domingo's supposed to be next in the alphabet. He has to come next. And it was just a 1-2 punch. And then I was like, there you go.
Did you put your hands out like score?
I'm okay for the rest of the day,
well,
guys.
Thank you. You've been so wonderful from the very beginning when Rustin came out. I remember you wrote these two beautiful pieces about it. So you just I wouldn't say like because I know you know as someone who writes for this and critiques and all that stuff, but you're very much like you had your eye on my work and the performance and what it meant. So I appreciate that.
Yeah. Listen,
I don't know how you see so much. So I don't even know how you do it.
Listen, I always say as an industry, we've been working at the Coleman Domingo Oscar moment for a while now. We have to get on stuff early. So like, listen, we were there for Zola. We were like shaming some people. We shamed some people for a Beale She Could Talk.
Good.
We've been doing the Lord's work for a while.
Thank you.
And then we knew Rustin was coming. We're like, there it is. That's going to be the one.
Man.
And then alas, here we are.
Thank you.
So the phone calls come. I love the phone calls that come of people like, I knew it, or the ones that are like, congratulations, and you're like, I didn't hear from you for a long time. But what is one of the
most there's a lot of that.
What is one of the most interesting calls that you've received thus far?
Well, what am I up to right now? I'm going to my phone. I'm up to 477 text messages that I haven't returned yet. And I probably have at least 300 emails. I have Instagrams and Twitters that I have not, because I really just try to stay present. And the calls that cut through are like family. I will talk to my niece and my brother and my sister, dear friends. And then I was sort of waiting around for a certain call for a few hours. And so I called, you know, someone who runs their production company. I said, hey, I have my phone on and my phone is just like dinging off the hook. And I only have it on for one reason, because I'm waiting for a certain call from a certain somebody. Yep. And she said, hold on for a second. Let me see what I can do. And then a number from a no ID showed up. And I was like, there it is. And I pick up the phone. It's just about an hour ago.
But I just want to point out, for the record, you don't pick up unknown calls typically, right?
No.
We have a general rule.
But I know that there's maybe, but it generally, I used to didn't, you know, when I was being chased by bill collectors. Not anymore. But who I will pick up for, like, you know, certain, you know.
On these days.
Big people who will call. And I pick up and the first thing he says, Coleman. Congratulations. I was like, oh, that's not so good. My voice is tired, but usually I could do a better Barack Obama. But basically Barack Obama called me about an hour ago and he just gave me so much congratulations and love. And he said the most important thing. He said, just enjoy this moment. Enjoy it. He said, enjoy every step of this. This is a huge, wonderful thing. And, he said, just have fun.
Recent back-to-back Emmy winner, Barack Obama.
Yeah, exactly.
Just great president, winning Emmys. He gets into Oscar space, man. I'm going to have to be like, listen, man.
So right. When I was got an Oscar-nominated film, so there we go. Sure, exactly, right? You
know? Rustin's on the map.
Yeah.
Listen, we started this journey with the – well, listen, we heard about the journey back in 2022.
Yep.
Because we thought it was coming that year.
Yeah.
And then George got sick. He got better, thank God. And then we got back here. And then we go to Telluride in the mountains.
Yeah.
In the middle of a strike.
Yeah.
When you know, that was the industry. They were like, we knew the Coleman moment was coming. So they're like, let's go on strike. Let's try to stop this.
let's try to stop this from happening.
but we did it anyway. But now that we're here, I mean, listen, looking back at that moment, like the first reviews come out. I know no one does it for the awards, but you're hoping that it's just a good movie and that people receive it well.
Yeah.
And now you're here. Is that a little surreal?
Oh, it's fantastic. I think it's even beyond what I imagine. I think that I imagine we were, because I know the way we made it. It was so detailed and spirited and beautiful and gentle. And I was just hoping that translated, that, you know, you never know what happens in the post-production and everything. And then, but every step of the way that's been, when I tell you, like, every partner, everybody at Netflix, how much they loved the film and cared for it and cared about the way they marketed it. Everything about it has been very, and I use the word gentle, which I don't think is a word I use often when it comes to getting a film out.
Yeah.
You know, you're trying to cram it into some audience's heads and make them go, force them to go see it.
But this
feels gentle, and it feels like it has the spirit of Byron Rustin around it. That's what it feels so good. And so I'm happy that it's been received and, you know, my work and, you know, because I'm like, when they amplify my work, you amplify the name Byron Rustin.
Yeah.
And that is the whole reason, sole reason why I wanted to do this film. He's a unsung hero of mine.
Oh, listen, and I fully admit, and listen, I'm one that writes about diversity, and I try to be up to speed on all our important historical figures of our lifetime. And I didn't even know a lot about Byron Rustin.
Most people didn't.
And I was perfectly open to like learning something, because especially when it comes to Dr. King, a lot of people love to throw their stake in the ground. Like, I know about Dr. King.
Right.
I mean, this is like his closest dude, and like, flew over my head, because, you know, education sucks in America. They don't teach us about some of this.
It's true. I mean, that's how I found out about him when I was 19 years old. But not even in college, in a college program. I actually found out through the African-American Student Union, which I joined to sort of like know more about myself.
Yeah, yeah.
In many ways. And then so he came up sort of as a footnote in a way. And then we went a little deeper. And I was like, what? Who is this person? And they were so profound and did so much, and how come we don't know about it? So then, of course, the moment you hear that as a 19-year-old, you feel like I've been duped my entire life by my education. You know, so that makes me want to interrogate everything.
Yeah. So let me give you some of the great tidbits of the day that I'm sure, because you can't catch everything, because it's been a very eventful.
Yeah, what happened?
10 hours.
What happened?
I wanted to drop some historical bits for you.
You always know this stuff, which is great. Because
I've been following it. Listen, I've never been so happy to be so wrong about Danielle Brooks. And for this reason, because I love her in Color Purple, and I predicted her to miss because no Oscar-nominated performance for a musical has represented the sole nomination for its movie.
Wow.
So a musical performance never gets nominated by itself. It's always like with costumes or a song or something. And I'd been tracking Color Purple. I was like, she feels fine, but I don't have it anywhere else. So I got to believe it's – I had to go with history.
That it's a miss.
And then when I heard her name, I almost lost my shit.
The mic dropped on you.
I was like, that's what – I'm like, prove me wrong.
Yeah.
Danielle Brooks. I mean, Color Purple, the Oprah role. Mm-hmm. The Oprah role. invigorated. And what I see a lot of, and I was talking about with a friend today, a lot of people known a lot for TV, yourself, Danielle Brooks, Sterling K. Brown, Jeffrey Wright, like all just sneaking up into movies now. You're like, oh, we're going to like start running shit now. Like, we're here. Stop putting us in the back at the award shows. We actually got something to do.
Right.
It's been incredible. But one thing that really caught my eye, GLAAD released a statement today, because I don't know if you're aware, but you and Jodie Foster, first LGBTQ actors, openly LGBTQ actors, nominated for LGBTQ characters in history.
Wow.
96 years. GLAAD released a statement, aside from being a much-deserved recognition of their outstanding talents as performers, Coleman Domingo and Jodie Foster's Oscar nominations are making LGBTQ and film history while serving as examples for LGBTQ talent all over, that living your life authentically can and should be met with great success.
Wow. That's fantastic.
Like, I mean, listen, my oldest brother was a gay man and one of my heroes, and he used to always talk to me about the things he thought he would never be able to do when he was like in the closet, and then why he wouldn't come out. And then when he did come out, like the things he got to do, seeing this journey for yourself, living your best truth. And I will say publicly shaming me at every award show when I feel good about what I'm wearing. And then you show up. It's becoming an issue, man. I really need.
That's why you brought me on the show. Right?
It's really to say, like, unless either share some stylists with me or like just take it down, man. Let me feel like good for a little while. But how does it feel when you were a young boy growing up? Where did
I think that I was always supported by my family to be exactly who I was and to know that there was no limitations. And I think that as long as I didn't put limitations on me and my own abilities, the world would meet me the way I see myself. And that's exactly what has happened, I think. I think, I mean, I'm looking at, you know, I can look objectively at myself playing Byatt Rustin and Mist in The Color Purple in the same season. And you can see the breadth and scope of the work that I do and I'm interested in and that I'm able to transform into, because I believe that that's what I could do, that I'm not limited to just playing a part of myself in some way. And even like I love to even say that I hope people can see that, like, whether it's me and Jody, that yeah, we are openly gay and we're playing openly gay characters, but I hope that they also don't miss the craftsmanship that it took to create that. It's not like we just showed up.
Like, I'm gay, I can do this.
I'm being gay. And just because people are like, oh, what part of, you know, people ask the question, do you see a lot of yourself in Byard? I'm like, well, we're very different people. But of course, I use everything I can of myself to give breadth and scope to his soul as well. Yeah. So I think that, for me, that's just what I'm
interested,
because so people always know that it's still craft and how we're crafting this. And yeah, just because we have some things in common. Yeah, I think we have larger access points that we don't have to, but also still we have to craft it, what we're pulling from.
Yeah, know? Awesome. Some more juicy tidbits and history making.
Yes.
We have a person of color in every acting category this year.
Wow.
Doesn't happen too often.
It doesn't.
You and Jeffrey Wright, second time in history that two black men are nominated in this category that aren't Denzel Washington and Will Smith.
Are you serious?
Yeah. They've done it. They're usually together but one other time. It was, I think, the Poitier year and Paul Winfield.
For Sounder.
Yeah. And the second time we have two black men killing it together. And we used to hear this argument on the circuit. People were like, it's Coleman or it's Jeffrey. I'm like, why has it got to be either or?
I think that's one. Listen, when I was reading some of that stuff before, when it would pop up, I'm like, that's interesting to me that certain people are locks and then they swap in and out the two black guys. And I thought that was very interesting, because for me, I'm like, that's racist as hell. I'm like, what do our performances have to do with one another? We have very different performances.
Not saying Bradley or Coleman.
Exactly. I'm like, Bradley or Coleman, it would make more sense. We're both done biopics. You know what I mean? I feel it. But I thought, you know, I see race in that. I'm like, oh, you can't imagine that two black men could be in the same category together. It's one or the other.
Yeah.
And I feel a little, you know.
Yeah. But
little vindication. I'm totally kidding. Vindication, but
it definitely is vindication.
It's kind of lovely.
I feel vindicated.
I respect Jeffrey so much, and I'm so glad that he's sharing this space with me right now.
Like, it's killing it. And then also, first Afro-Latino nominated in a leading acting category. And people were like, Latino, he's black. I'm like, we can belong to both. Like,
this is the thing. That's a greater argument. You know, where people are like, they think it's all one way. Or like,
no.
You know, no. Go to my dad and his whole family. They'll let you know.
And I'm so happy, not the only Latino. America Ferrera, God bless her heart.
Yes.
Coming on in.
That was such a beautiful surprise for me. I got very excited when I heard of her nomination.
You don't understand. Like, as I saw – why I think I love this year. And listen, the Academy can get stuff wrong. We can get mad at them all the time. Mm-hmm. They're never going to get it fully right. But I looked at the lineup. I looked at the landscape. And I went, damn. There's a little bit for everyone
it
here.
It's pretty good this year.
It was everyone. I was like, there's not like one side super lopsided. I mean, listen, there was like a lot.
People really watched films this year.
It's a good year for movies.
It's a great year for movies. I think it's been an incredible year and a great class of people to be with.
I'm just like happy. And then Lily Gladstone obviously just makes my heart sore. So now looking at a little bit of what the things that didn't happen for Rustin, and Rustin's such a good movie, and George C. Wolfe, very, very talented director. They denied us Lenny Kravitz at the Oscars.
Yeah.
And I'm a little bit of Coleman Domingo problem. Like, that dude's almost 60 and he's acting like he's not almost 60, looking spectacular still. But what was your reaction to like not seeing your comrade?
Oh man, he delivered such an incredible anthem for us and for the world with that song. I think that song should play on the radio, and it should still, you know, I'm sure Grammys can come around and, you know, as well.
It's full award season.
But it was a really tight category too. I really said there's a lot of really interesting songs from very different films. And so I was like, oh man, I knew that was missed. But you know, the song, you know, music lasts.
Yeah.
And that will last to the test of time.
When you're looking now, and this is always becomes, I sound the alarms in this realm. You're an Oscar nominee. We did really good this year. The enemy of progress is complacency. And I say that because people will look at this year and go, racism's over. We did it, guys. Mm-hmm. We have people of color and Hollywood's fixed and we're all going to be okay. Mm-hmm. And I thank the Academy for what they did. And then I'm always looking, okay, what are you going to do for me next? I want to know what comes for Coleman Domingo after Rustin. Like, thank you for the invitation this first time. I'm ready for a couple more. Mm-hmm. And we can just continue this ride.
Right.
But that's for everyone. Danielle Brooks, I look at her. America Ferrera, 15 years since she won an Emmy and took us this long to be like, oh, like you can actually do a lot of great stuff if we give you the opportunity. What are you about to embark upon after Rustin? What would you like to embark upon?
First, I hear a couple questions in there and I want to answer one and then the other.
Yeah.
But one is, I think that hopefully, because I think people like you and I are groomed to always look at story and story that's outside of our experience. Mm-hmm. And I think the other way around, I think, is hopefully happening a bit more to understand, like George C. Wolfe would say, it doesn't have to look like you to be about you.
Mm.
I can always find myself in movies like Poor Things or, you know, things that are whatever, you know, things that may not have people who look like me in it.
Yeah.
And now it's time for the other. And I feel like that's how we grow. That's how we have more diversity in storytelling. And that's how we get more eyes on things. That's one. Two is what's next for me. Something's probably going to be announced tomorrow. I think so. I think it's going to be in the press tomorrow, but I can't say just yet.
Well, I think you can say it now because this episode doesn't come out until Thursday.
When is it coming out?
This episode comes out on Thursday.
Because it's coming out tomorrow.
So I am agreeing to hear this without writing about it before tomorrow.
Okay, good.
Yes, there you go.
I am starring in the feature film biopic about Michael Jackson, and I'm playing Joe Jackson. That's Scoop. You're the first person that I told this. So.
Oh. Oh, no.
I know. He's undoing his tie, everybody. He just got hot under the collar. He's stretching out.
Oh.
He's taking off the hat now, the glasses. It's all. He's rolling on the floor.
That is such – you're going to gobble that to shreds. Like, it is – I It's so perfect. Like it's,
I'm excited to do it with Jafar. Jermaine Jackson's son is playing Michael, and he is breathtaking. And I think there, Graham King, the producer, is assembling this incredible cast. We just started shooting on Monday. I have that. And then I have my movie Sing Sing will come out. A24 will look like we're targeting, May, June. It's going to have its U.S. premiere at South by Southwest.
Mm-hmm. Oscar weekend. Thank you very much for that.
Right. So we'll figure out how we do that. Yeah. And then I'm looking forward to seeing what's next. I feel like, since I've been off of Fear of the Walking Dead, and I actually have more bandwidth. So I'm trying to figure out what's next. What do I feel like doing? What does my soul want to do?
Yeah.
What do I want to play with?
It's funny you bring up Fear of the Walking Dead because one of my colleagues wanted me to ask you, like, do you miss Fear of the Walking Dead? Are you missing a little bit of that? Or you
not
just,
one
are you,
bit.
You're like, I got like this free time.
But not one bit because I feel like I did everything I was supposed to do with that character. I feel like that was such a great, epic part of my life. And creating Victor Strand from season to season to a very different character, that was awesome. I did everything I wanted to do with that character. Now I feel like that chapter is behind me.
Yeah. I remember that's when I – noticed that you were more than just an actor because then you directed a couple of episodes. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, wait, no, Coleman's not just like glide into this industry. Mm-hmm. He wants to like do something. He wants to do some stuff.
Right.
When are you stepping behind the camera feature film wise? We talked last year about something brewing.
Yeah. And it's still brewing. And it's like, I'm actually putting together a feature film. I'm putting together a feature film about Nat King Cole. I'm giving you two new scoops. I've been working on this for some years now.
Really?
And I will play Nat King Cole, and I will direct it. It's a movie musical, and
I co-wrote
the script as well. And I've been working on it quietly for a few years, and now it's something I'm really moving forward to. Putting together with some great partners.
I'm post Joe Jackson.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Post Joe Jackson. Okay.
Yes.
I'm ready for that. Got to ask you about Euphoria. Do you think this is the last season coming up?
The last season? I don't know. I think we're, I don't even know. I just feel like, I know that Sam's been creating a season 3 that he's very excited about. And I know that we're looking at getting it started, I think in late spring or something.
Yeah.
So I think everybody's just excited about what comes out of Sam's mind. I know that Sam is an artist that likes to respond to the times. And so whatever is going on culturally or what people are seeking or hoping for, he's going to respond to the times.
Yeah. What's now an Oscar nominee? I assume you watched the Oscars growing up. What's like one of your favorite Oscar moments? Like, that you remember, that just stand out in history.
Okay, I'm one of those people that actually go back and look at YouTubes of like Oscar wins.
All the time, yeah.
And it's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. I think, I don't know why, what stands out to me is like watching Faye Dunaway win for Network.
Mm.
I don't know, because I feel like that's one of my favorite performances.
Yeah.
She's just, but watching her, the way they were, I feel like something about the 70s, the way people go up and collect their award, very classy. They were like, they looked like they wore, like Faye Dunaway looked like she wore a dress from her closet. It was beautiful. Her hair was a little tousled. And she goes up there and just say some gracious words and then leave.
Yeah.
You know, earlier in the.
She always glided into a room. She doesn't walk.
She breezes into a room. She doesn't walk.
Yeah.
I think that's a win. But also watching, I remember we all watched Halle Berry win. Mm-hmm. And that one was for so many people. And she honored that and dedicated that. So it was beautiful. Watching Denzel win, who else? I love to watch like Sidney Poitier win his first.
Fun tidbit about Denzel, the last performance to win Best Actor that won no precursor awards that season before it was Training Day. He had lost to Russell Crowe 3 times at the Globe, SAG, BAFTA. He wasn't supposed to win on the night.
Really?
He wasn't supposed to win.
In there.
I always say that is like one of the perfect examples of just timing, because it was like he got nominated and people were like, oh, that's cool. And then Halle Berry lost the Globe and then she won SAG and we went, oh, that's actually really cool. And then they announced Sidney Poitier to be the Lifetime Achievement and we went, oh, wait. That's interesting too. And then all the stars are aligning. We were like, and then I don't know for sure. I think this year Russell Crowe threw a phone.
Really?
I think that's the year he threw a phone. and he had just won for Gladiator. And then history presents itself.
Wow.
And we have that historic night. That's so I'm just saying.
History can be made.
We can do it.
Let's see. I lost the Globe. So that means I win the Oscar.
I mean, listen, we have SAG and BAFTA left.
So I win all of those. Yeah. Oh, you want me to lose those? So
I like some obstacles. Okay. I like some obstacles, man.
I'll shake it up a little bit. We'll see. Maybe I'll win one or two or none.
And you take it. You're here. And that it's an honor to be nominated, right? Yes. So I have two last questions for you. One is so fun that my friend gave me. So you love cocktails. And it's dry January.
Yeah.
What recommendation do you have for people who are not participating in this?
The funny thing is I'm going to a dinner tonight, and I'm actually going to a dinner sponsored by Seedlip, you know, non-alcoholic beverages. And I thought, am I going to have a good time? But I think I am, actually. I think because it is dry January, and we have to be responsible.
We're, 23 days?
Yeah, 23 days.
8 days left, man.
Like, yeah, so I'm going to go to a quote-unquote cocktail and dinner.
And try not to fall asleep.
Exactly.
for a little bit there.
Yeah, exactly.
Final question, man. And we sat here during the Christmas, between Christmas and New Year's, a year ago. I was the jinx for you getting snubbed for a new moon.
God damn it.
That's why I waited for after. It was all strategic. I was like, I'm going to get him afterward. But listen, like – It's a moment that, you know, you're happy for the recognition, but there's got to be this feeling like this whole season being anointed so much. Palm Springs, you gave a powerful speech, gave the picture of you
in Palm Springs.
And Palm Springs when Rustin got acquired by Barack Obama. You're looking now. You're hung out with Oprah all year. man, I don't know if it's like, do you feel like, do you pinch yourself sometimes and you're like, I can't believe this is my life. And then you have Raul, who is just honestly sweet as pie.
I was a good guy.
Still crying on the floor probably at home.
Still probably.
Yeah.
You know what's wild? I think that, I just try to be as present as possible, and it does take my breath away a little bit when I look at my life or I look at where I'm going and the people that I'm around and people I have friendships with, people who are now truly my colleagues that are, you know, whether it's Killian and Bradley and I are becoming friends, and Paul Giamatti and I texted today and all these, But it's been a long time coming. So I feel like it's been building slowly, very slowly and organically. So I feel like I'm not as in awe. I just feel it's been tiny seeds planted for a very long time. And so now I'm like, wow, this is the fruits of my labor. This is like real fruits.
Hey, we had to water this plant for a long time.
And at times it was struggling and life support. And then now it's just kind of like, you know, everything's flowering.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful because, you know, whether I prayed over the plant and, you know, gave it some love and talked to it, that's what it feels like. I know the work that has gone into it. And that's something I don't deny myself. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, I'm lucky. I'm like, no, I work hard. And then I think I put a lot of love and care into what I do. And now it's coming back to me, which is great. So it feels really good. And it feels really, and everyone's been saying, oh, you're having such a moment. You're having such a moment. And I recognize that. And I know these moments don't come often.
Yeah.
And I don't know how long it'll last. But I do know that I feel very grateful and very centered and very sort of like calm. Mm. Every time I see you, and I see you out, I think people can tell I feel very calm and I'm having a good time.
Yeah.
I think that's the most important thing, to actually have a good time. And when you see me next time and I'm wearing like a gold jacket over my shoulders, I want to invite you to wear a gold jacket over your shoulders, Clayton.
So let me tell you something, Coleman. And this is so important for me to say. Because Rent the Runway doesn't really exist for men. And it kind of does. But here's the thing. Some of us are still carrying a little holiday weight back from college.
From college.
And they don't really carry the right sizes that I can keep up. So I am spending my own money. And I, unfortunately, have not gotten nominated for an Oscar yet. And I'm not having...
Clayton, you're a hat guy. You love hats.
I do love hats. But I also have a...
I think you should rock more like... hats with like some color and you know
I do but again I struggle with hats too because I have a big head too I wear
yeah
I have
you like get a, some cu- you,
no
you
there's fine
custom hats
I have a lot of hats I have a good amount
yeah you do
but then like you just state this is like my go-to
I
like
gold hat or something on
I have a gold hat
you do
I do have a gold
I've
hat
I've seen a gold hat
I know I ask with the outfit I'm all about accessories okay. When you can't change it up all the time then you have to accessorize right. Listen Coleman Domingo congratulations sir I'm so happy for you I'm glad that you came back on the podcast.
I didn't work out last time.
But it did this time. And I look forward to having you next year, or next 2 years, for two big projects that are going to be awesome, man.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Thanks, Clayton.
That star and Oscar nominee, Coleman Domingo of Rustin, now streaming on Netflix. And that's it for this edition of Variety's Award Circuit Podcast. Zach Levin edited this episode and Michael Schneider is the producer. Be sure to subscribe to the Award Circuit Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you download podcasts. Also, head on over to Variety.com and click on the Award Circuit tab to find the latest awards predictions and key races, as well as your daily fix of news, analysis, and reviews. For Jazz Tanke, Janelle Riley, and Clayton Davis, I'm Michael Schneider, and we'll see you on the circuit.
For your consideration, Max presenting the HBO original Succession. As power struggles ensue, the Roy family weighs up a future where their cultural and political weight is severely curtailed. Don't miss the series IndieWire calls the end-all, be-all of TV. Nominated for 5 SAG Awards, including Outstanding Performance by an Ensemble in a Drama Series, Succession is streaming now on Max.